Blog Talk Radio.
And I've been hustling since forever now. Feels like June and November now. And can't nobody ask me nothing now. They say, who's this? I say, boy, I've been around. And I've been hustling since forever now. Feels like June and November now. And can't nobody ask me nothing now. They say, who is I say, boy, I've been around.
I try to stay humble, I really do. Got the world on my shoulders, I can barely move. If they're my competition, I can never lose. I hustle in America, Bradley Coop. I need a brand new coupe, I need a crib in Paris. Camera shit, I need a horse and carriage. They play the game, can't stand to share it. Scary move, and affairs, look, I'm.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday's Eve. Spencer is here with the much-anticipated return of the Great Debate Series. This is, of course, brought to you tonight by the Iconoclastically Bombastic Network. If you haven't already, please go ahead and like our IBN page on Facebook for all your sports, entertainment, and politic needs. You can follow us on Twitter at IconoBomb. And join the greatest sports page on Facebook, Iconoclastically Bombastic Sports. For anyone who hasn't tuned into one of our debates before, please get yourselves prepared for a little bit of barbershop humor meets sports bar debate on all things NFL. I'm going to go ahead and bring our contestants on here shortly. First, let me bring on, I believe this is Chase, who was here first. Chase, are you there?
I'm just here so I don't get fined, man.
Welcome, Chase. Get ready. I'm going to go ahead and bring on the commissioner as well, RC.
Hello.
RC, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Welcome, everybody. So we're going to go ahead and start this shortly here with a little bit of back and forth. For anyone who doesn't know, all these questions were submitted by members of the Facebook group. I'll give them all a little shout-out as we go along. I figured we would start this out, since it is NFL's theme, with a coin toss. Chase, since you do hold the saltine privilege, I will let you go first. Go ahead and call it in the air. Would you like heads or tails?
Tails never fails.
It is tails, Chase. Would you like to take the first question, or would you like to wait for after RC answers?
I will defer to the rebuttal.
All right. Chase is going to take a page out of the Urban Meyer playbook and defer to the second half. So what we'll do is I'm going to set this nice stopwatch here at 90 seconds once I finish the question. RC, you'll get the chance to go first, and then, of course, Chase will get his chance to rebuttal. Are you ready?
I am.
All right, let's go ahead and get this started. This first question here was submitted by our favorite native, Cody, and approved by his wife. So if Michael Irvin hadn't retired early, would Michael Irvin have been a top five receiver all time in NFL history?
Good question. But first, before I answer this question, I just want everybody to know that today is going to be the day that Black strikes back. I'm giving a shout out and I'm dedicating my performance to every NFL quarterback that had to sit behind a saltine that they were superior to. I'm dedicating this to Warren Moon. I'm dedicating this to Donovan McNabb. I'm dedicating this to Doug Williams. I'm dedicating this to Colin Kaepernick, who still can't get a job. Mike Tomlin, Lovely Smith, who had to go to Illinois and Big Ten country. Tony Dungy, who had to wait. I'm dedicating this to Josh Gibson, Boobie Gibson, Boobie Miles. I'm dedicating this to every nickel who didn't get a shot, and I'm about to drag this boy like Achilles did Hector in Troy. Now, to that end, like, a lot of Cowboy fans like to hype up Michael Irvin, but the era simply was not conducive enough to make him a top five receiver. Also, big receivers like that usually are volume receivers to get like 100 catches. Like, you need to be one of the top receivers of all time. And if you look at it, very soon after, Aikman got hurt. So I don't think that Michael Irvin would be considered a top 10 receiver, but I think a lot of it is because of that he was on TV a lot. He's very good, but he was on TV a lot. He played for the Cowboys, and they won a lot of championships. But I don't think Michael Irvin had the potential to be a top five receiver ever, really.
All
no,
right.
Definitely not. I'm going to stick with that. I agree, probably for a little bit different reasons. I mean, the main thing is Troy Aikman's trash, so we should just get that out in the open. But the rest of the rest of that whole Cowboys team, I mean, they were obviously run focused. They had Emmitt, they had the line. But I mean, Irvin's numbers aren't remotely close. When you got the GOAT in the same era, just putting up in ridiculous numbers. You know, Jerry Rice was through that whole time period. Tim Brown, both of them had better numbers. Not even close. I mean, Irvin's better than Dez. I'll give you that. He's top five for the franchise. Although homeboy that was shouting at the Philly fans might be my number one for the Cowboys now.
Drew Pearson, Chase. Why we got to be homeboys,
right.
Chase? You can't remember our names? We already starting that? You can't remember our names?
All look the same to me, man.
Do I get the rebuttal?
So I see Chase is taking the, what was that guy's name, Drewby approach and just agreeing with what RC's going to say tonight in the hopes
well, I mean,
of
what
sharing
am I
going to
say? Irvin's in the top five? I mean, I'm not even that dumb.
Time out. Which moderator is the one that corrected the candidates in the debates with Trump and Hillary? Which moderator was the one that kept, like, making corrections?
Yeah.
That's Spencer right there. He's trying to get a little commentary.
All right, so we'll go ahead. We'll move on to the next question here. This one was submitted by our favorite and maybe our only British member in IBS, Marcus, who also recently graduated from that small school up in Ohio. This is going to be a three-part question for you guys. We'll go ahead and start off with Chase this time. Marcus wants to let you guys let him know, who was the best defensive lineman for each of the following decades? We're going to start with the 80s, the 90s, and then the 2000s.
Come on, repeat the question. What?
He wants to know who the best defensive lineman was in the NFL for each of the following decades. So one for the 1980s, one for the 1990s, and then one for the 2000s, which would be, you know, 2000 to 2010.
All right, so I'm going to go for the 80s. I'm going to cheat. Well, I'm not going to cheat. I'm going to say Jacqueline Youngblood for the Rams, played with a broken leg in the Super Bowl. And quite frankly, I can't really remember that many defensive linemen for the, from the 80s. But going to the 90s, got to be Reggie White, kind of mixed with Bruce Smith. I think that Reggie White was just dominant. So was Bruce Smith, but Reggie was just unbelievable coming off the line of scrimmage. You just could not stop him. He turned around the Green Bay franchise when he went up there. For the 2000s, I can't think of the obvious. Well, honestly, I hate to say it, but the guy that's been the most dominant in 2000s, and the 2000s, I mean, even though it's been that long, really it's been J.J. Watt. Like, what he's done so far, he's gotten hurt, but he's been very impressive with 3 20-sack seasons in like a 5 or 6 year career. So those would be my choices. You're talking about transcendent, and of course, J.J. has to – we'll have to wait to see if J.J. can have a career that's transcendent. But so far, when he's played, he's been transcendent. So those would be my choices.
Bonus no question Google. For you, RC. Where did Jack Youngblood play his college ball?
Jack Youngblood played his college ball at the University of – I don't fucking know.
University of Florida, go Gators. Had to slip that in there.
Oh,
all right,
that's
Chase.
That's a layup, man.
What is this moderator?
All right, Chase, same question for you. Who was the best defensive lineman for the 80s, 90s, and 2000s in the NFL?
I mean, this is really lame, but, like, RC got it right. I mean, so, obviously, I love Bruce Smith, the Hokie. And he came in at the end of the 80s, and you had Reggie White kind of there at the tail end going into the 90s. And, I mean, those guys just absolutely – I don't know the 80s, I was born then, like, definitely, other than knowing that my Niners destroyed that decade, I don't know anything about defensive football. I guess there were some solid teams, but no one ever stopped Joe. So we got the GOAT in that era. That's the main thing I can tell you. It's offensive. But, yeah, you got – Reggie White was absolutely the most dominant player from the defensive line. One of the most ever, if not, you know, you could say the most ever. There was definitely – I think the 90s is probably a very strong decade for defensive linemen. With Bruce, with even like Thomas and some of those other guys that were just racking up sacks in general. And then, of course, Watt's like unchallenged at this point, though there's a lot of young guys coming for him with Mack and even Bosa. And just, I mean, there's guys all around the league now. People are really putting money into pass rushers. The problem is half these guys are on cocaine and hookers all day, so they can't stay on the field. Looking at you, Alden Smith and Hardy. And I mean, so – you know, J.J. Watt, because he's got that clean, saltine image, actually, regardless of the fact that he can't keep his back right like Tiger Woods, he actually might be able to play longer than the rest of these defensive ends. So, clearly, so far, the most dominant of the last decade or so there, for sure.
Bro, if we are right. A culture vulture here. This is spelling out the appropriation of my people as we speak. Are we just going to take my answers and put a spin on them and, like, rebuild this country? Is that what we're going to do?
Hey, man.
Simulate the building and the foundation of America? Is that what we're doing here? Word to Jesse Williams. And despite
first
my
of
fans,
all,
I will keep screwing white girls, even though I'm having this pro-black thing.
First of all, I was supposed to go first on that question, but it's all good anyway.
Hey, your moderator's
hot.
Is
that
my
fault? He did jump
the
right in.
The moderator is hot. He should have called the name.
All right. I did. You're just not good at listening. So,
I'm not. I don't do good with rule.
I'm going to mute RC for this one and give Chase the chance to go first like he was supposed to on the last one. So, we had our favorite Mr. Content, Cody Stewart, submitted me. He sent me about a novel with about 30 questions.
Oh, my gosh, so, man. Don't give me the hard one. Put RC back on. Let me copy his answer.
Yeah, well, here's what we're going to do. Rather than go through all 30 of his questions, give me a number, Chase, from 1 to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1 to 8.
5.
Five. All right. Question number five was, how far do you feel Chicago was set back with their selection there of Mitchell or Mitch in this NFL draft this year?
Nobody knows. I mean, you know, everyone clowned that move, of course, and obviously they're not going to jump right in. The guy is not ready to play this year as far as a high level, but the Bears, number one, they got more issues other than quarterback. They've let everybody go. They got rid of Alshon. They got rid of now Eddie Royal. Like, no, there's no receivers now. They got some young guys. They just let go of Fuller on the deep. Like, they're really letting go of all their pieces. They're in straight rebuilding mode in general. But with Trubisky specifically, I think you got to wait like a couple years. The NFL doesn't give you that anymore. So, I mean, if he's not tracking well towards the end of this season, start of the next, people are going to be all over that move for a while, and they're going to start looking for other options. They're going to have to. I mean, you see what's happening with Goff and the Rams. Like, people acted like they were going to be patient with that up front, and the Rams even tried, but, man, they got rid of their coach and everything for the fact that he wouldn't put him in. So then he got in, and then everyone's like, wow, he sucks. And everyone's calling him a bust already. So, you know, it's really not set up to be a developmental league like that anymore. This guy's got very limited tape. He's got some tools, but the Bears aren't going anywhere anytime soon. I mean, I think you got at least 5 years on that.
Yeah, I think Chicago, I mean, who are they going to trot out this year? I mean, they're still going to trot out Barkley? To start, you think he has what it
Glennon,
takes to?
No, they got Glennon, but they got Glennon, but
oh,
Glennon's
right,
trash
right,
too.
They did sign Glennon.
They got Glennon. They overpaid. field, at least for a game or two, but, I mean, he's straight up pure garbage, and then he's even, like, going to be a head case for the fact to draft. They traded up to draft this clown. So, oh, man. Chicago's going nowhere good, man. I'm, you know, even as a Niners fan, I'm, like, feeling better than that.
All right. Let me bring RC back on. He's probably yelling at his phone or me right now.
I was
RC,
close to
there.
It. I know the black man gets measured. And if I just missed his purpose because I wouldn't have took that hard-ass question first. I lost track of thought. I would have let Chase squander around if I was really paying attention. That was not a good. That was a hard question.
Yeah, so how far,
right,
RC, do you think Chicago set back with that selection?
In my opinion, this is like my most passionate thing about draft and team building is there's nothing worse. The only thing worse than not having a quarterback is having the wrong quarterback, meaning you invest your time, your money, your energy, everything you're building is supposed to be built around the quarterback. And so if you pick the wrong quarterback, you're set back for years. Look at the Bills before even Tyrod Taylor. I mean, he still probably is not the right quarterback, but he's not necessarily the wrong quarterback.
Whoa, man. Hey, I'm not going to allow that slander.
Well, you've already mentioned five Hokies already. I don't know how you slipped in enough Hokies into the conversation. You know there's no way Hokies are in great in this conversation, but somehow losing Fuller is going to kill the Bears. And Virginia Tech had
Dunzo.
A Bruce Smith in, like, 1978. Like, how many Hokie references are we going to have?
Hey, man, I know we're not slandering Tyrod, though. That's all I'm saying. Even Spencer was on board for a couple weeks there.
But he's not the guy. He's top 15.
He threw one touchdown to Percy Harvin.
I'm not slandering him. But what I'm saying is that when they pick E.J. Manuel, it set them back. So you can't pick the wrong quarterback. And I'm not sure trading up to get someone unproven with 1 year like that in Trubisky, I think is a big mistake. And I think it sets them back to actually answer the actual question. I think it sets them back at least 5 years. Because you're going to have to invest 3 years into this guy. And sometimes, if you're still not sure, you got to give him that fourth and then that fifth year, depending on how he plays. So you set back like 3 to 5, probably preferably 5 years back if this guy doesn't make it. And I don't think with the lack of weapons they have there in Chicago, I don't think they're going to be able to. They're not putting him in a great environment. You got a bad defense, you got a bad O-line, you got receivers that are non-existent unless Kevin White comes back off the injury list and it's phenomenal. They lost Jeffrey, so he's not working with anything. So any rookie quarterback, unless they're Andrew Luck and they're working with nothing, then they're not going to be successful.
Yeah, all right. So y'all going to chastise me for taking Marcy's answers then just let him spew my answer? Like, I mean, the dude said 5 years and no weapons. Like,
what?
I didn't say that.
I gave an in-detail, in-depth answer. I didn't equivocate and take both sides. I actually answered the question and gave a year. I didn't say, oh, well, you never know. Don't know. Sometimes they make it. Sometimes they don't.
I said 5 years, man. And I don't know how you didn't hear it. You were muted, probably just yelling at your own phone.
I didn't hear the question. My connection must be bad out here in New Kent. I'm not hearing it. I gave detailed answers, sir. I didn't cheat. I didn't cheat the paper.
No Google.
All right. No Google. No Google.
No Google.
Shout out Wally.
I want the record to show. I'm in my car in the garage. I'm like doing this straight up Wally style, man. I got no internet, just a little phone. I'm about to get Kobe to go plug it in for me, man. I might lose you.
We all knew you were in your car, Daddy Daycare. You don't have to tell us to get sympathy votes, Daddy Daycare. I've been there. It's okay.
He's trying to hide. All right. So let's
trying
go
to hide
ahead.
My
we'll
son from these
here.
Answers, man.
We'll move on.
The bathroom is a good
question.
Place to hide. Future reference, he gets older and he starts walking. The bathroom is a great place to hide. They'll knock. You can shut the door and keep it locked. And you can kind of feel if they fall or not when they're about toddlers. It's a great place to hide.
Cody hides in the bathroom.
From his wife.
All right. We get enough kid talk in the group chat. So let's go ahead. We'll move on here to the next question. This one is submitted from our favorite LSU and Odell fan, Larry. This one is near and dear to my heart. This question.
He's
not
gay.
Too much about the X's
question?
And O's.
Yes, he's gay. I'm sorry.
But. Actually being at the draft in Philly and seeing all the Philly fans chant asshole to Roger Goodell and then do it throughout every pick in the first round live was great. So here's a question Larry wants to know. It's going to be a two-parter. What Larry wants to know is what Roger Goodell's biggest actual accomplishment has been, and then also to pair with that, his biggest shortcoming as he's been the commissioner in the NFL so far.
Now, I'm going to do – this is me.
Yeah, you can start.
Yeah,
we know what the answer is, though. You can say I'm going to copy
Damn.
You, but we know what it is.
This guy can't say – he can't prompt the person that's got the question. Damn. Lester, hold out here.
Hold
up.
We'll go ahead. We'll handcuff Chase. We're going to keep equal race relations
yeah,
going
you.
On here.
Keep calling the strike. That's right. We don't need affirmative action.
There you go.
We just need – we need to be affirmative access. But
I'm promoting the Rooney Rule here, and I have silence.
I think what you say? Okay. I think Roger Goodell's greatest accomplishment, people forget, the league was on the verge of getting the reputation that maybe the NBA had when after the fight and the Malice in the Palace and when Portland Trailblazers were called the Jailblazers. There were so many people getting in trouble. And when he took control of the discipline, he cleaned up the league, and he gave the league a face that looked like these players were getting disciplined. And a lot of it, you have to placate white America, salty America. I have to say that it doesn't look like some black thugs just running wild in the country, these football players. But he did do that. So he gave it credibility on that level. Pro Football Talk used to have, it still does actually, but it used to be a big thing that they kept a total of the number of days without an arrest in the NFL. It was that prevalent around 2005, 2006, 2007 when Dale came. So that part can't – that biggest shortcoming is close to that. Our second biggest shortcoming is holding on to the reins for that discipline too long and not evolving it. But the biggest shortcoming is the concussion thing, not being ahead of this concussion thing. I interviewed the lady behind Will Smith's movie Concussion, the book behind it, and there was a cover-up. They had a rheumatologist – as the head doctor on the concussion committee. They did not pay attention to this. It's cost the league billions of dollars. If they had simply embraced it and simply tried to say, hey, we're going to make the game safer before they got sued, a lot of the credibility that they lost on that issue and somewhat some of the money they've lost in the future would not have been lost without that. So he had a total blind spot to the concussion thing, and really he still does.
All right, let me go ahead and bring Chase back on. Chase, what is
bring
your take on the
off
question
me.
There?
I mean, so the best thing that Goodell did, he gets credit for it. I don't think he actually did it, but the game's ratings and the dollars going into the owner's pockets, that's his success. Like, that is literally his job, is to make sure the maximum amount of money is going into those guys' pockets. That's what he's done. So that's the accomplishment, whether you want to credit him for that or not. It's happened on his watch. His shortcoming is being tone deaf and reactionary. Like, it beyond just the concussion issue, it seems like with the whole Ray Rice situation and a lot of the discipline issues, the Kaepernick thing, everything's like reactionary, and it seems to upset people even worse than what would be if they would just like address things immediately. And just the fact, he's just seemed very tone deaf to the whole marijuana issue, to racial issues, to the abuse of pills. He's getting a lot of credit for being that authoritarian, like RC saying, but the league's still real dirty, man. You got a lot of prominent players still getting into issues. And so, I think it's just like the NBA changed the dress code, and now all of a sudden everyone's wearing bow ties, but not much of the culture actually changed. It just dressed it up. And that's – you got the same thing going on in the NFL. Like, there's still a lot of bad dudes in there, word to Aaron Hernandez. It's just been covered up a little bit better. They're putting a better facade on it, but – but, I still think he's a failure in that regard. He's I'm not a fan, but again, like I say, his job description is put money in the owner's pockets, and that's what he's doing. So he's going to be there as long as that continues to happen. He's going to make a lot more money than the players for a long time.
All right. Funny side story you remind me of, Chase, there. I may have told this to you guys before, but I'm sure everyone listening doesn't know this. But the Ray Rice scenario, right? You know, he was good to go until that video came out, you know? Funny thing, do you know that that videotape...
Two games turned into blackballed, yeah.
The videotape itself was never actually found, though. Fun fact. I have a good buddy of mine who actually worked for Revel when Revel was still around in Atlantic City before it shut down like a lot of the city. That tape is missing. So somebody bought that tape. Somebody bought to make that tape disappear, right? The actual video that came out was essentially like a cell phone video of the monitor. So whoever did it probably sold that too. But a little funny side story for you guys, for anyone who's not aware
of
that.
They burned all the Patriots tapes. Admittedly, burned them.
It's Sam,
man,
that tape
doesn't exist.
We got
exist.
A topper as the moderator of the debate. It's Sam. It's Sam Hill on the left.
I almost opened that up. I almost
fact.
Opened.
You know a story coming.
I almost opened that up, actually, RC. See, it is true. It's scary. I almost opened that up with that side joke, but I didn't want to hype the man. But all right, let's get
it
going
was
to the
good.
Next
it
question
was, I
here.
I didn't know that. That actually was pretty good. It wasn't good. It was a good anecdote,
yeah.
But definitely a topper to do
yeah,
it after.
Nah, man. All right. So let's go ahead. Since you wanted to bring that up, RC, let's go ahead. Let's move forward to a question from your brother, who I think beat you in the last debate. He gave us a long-winded question.
All
here.
The votes weren't counting. I'm still waiting for all the votes to be counting.
Florida.
You got those hanging chads. What are they called? Hanging chads? You still got them going on?
Yeah, hanging chads.
So this one's going to give you guys a little bit more of a test on the X and O's of it. Chase, we'll start with you first since he went first last time. A question from Corey Brook was, given the current climate of rule changes and the up-tempo offense, what defensive schemes do you think is best, and how do you see defenses continuing to evolve in the future to counteract this?
I think you're starting to see, one, you're starting to see limited quarterbacks, and so first thing, you got better pass rushers, so the game's being played a lot quicker. You're closer to the line of scrimmage, even with the passing game. There's not a lot of vertical passing game going on just because, one, the guys can't get the ball downfield because of time, and two, just accuracy issues, and you got to be so accurate in the NFL. So I think you're going to continue to see, like, the 3-4 is going to maintain prevalence just because you can get some linebackers out in space easier. And I think you're going to see a lot of press to try to jam guys at the line, to try to eliminate those quick passes, especially as these receivers continue to get smaller and smaller too, and corners keep getting bigger. Now your corners are looking more like 6'6", and your receivers are starting to be the shorter ones of the equation where it used to be flipped about a decade ago. So, the object's going to be to jam them, keep people on the line, keep people as close to the line as possible, keep people in their face. It's just got to be chaotic, so you're going to be sending blitzes, and, you don't need as many linemen, so that's why the 3-4's been working. You got more gap control that way, and so I think that we're going to continue to see that.
All right.
Well,
RC, what's your take on that question?
I would like to thank my brother for grooving Chase that pitch. That was a college football question designed as an NFL question to suit Chase's strength, that Judas-ass Corey. But I will answer the question.
You said it was Corey Brooks. I don't even know who that is.
No, he just said Brooks. He was high. You meant my brother Corey, didn't you? Corey Brooks
is
Corey Brooks. Band. Yeah, what'd you say?
Corey
Brooks. Corey
Brooks. Your brother.
Brickle said, I heard Corey. And he said, I lost the debate to Corey. I'm ready to go. So my philosophy on this is Chase actually made some really good points about some of the micro stuff. And I want to go to the macro. Basically, you have to have stronger and faster players. So on the edge, you've got to have fast pass rushers that can get to the quarterback as quickly as possible. There are less snaps to get to the quarterback because there's so many three-step drops, even in NFL games, so many bubbles. So you've got to have freaks there on the outside. But you also, in the middle of the field, you got to have linebackers that can cover. It's almost at this point more important that a linebacker be a coverage guy. So if you saw in the Super Bowl, the game, kind of game that Deion Jones from the Falcons had, he was all over the place. Now, they overwhelmed him with the amount of plays they did, but that's the kind of guy you got to have in the middle. You got to have that kind of guy. You got to have versatile guys that can stay on the field, whether it's base coverage or if they're in sub packages. And this is just off the top of my head, so no Google, but there's just a lot of Greco sell. So we're talking about 68% last year, 68-75% of the plays last year were in sub packages for defenses. So we're talking nickel or dime. So you've got to have players that can stay on the field, that can cover sideline to sideline, and come up and play the run. So that backside from the middle and that backside, you've got to have athletes that can play every single down and have versatility to stay on the field, because you can't keep subbing these guys in and out. That's where a lot of the defenses get tripped up.
All right. So let's go ahead.
You can clap
I
if you want,
one,
You can clap. You can give me applause if you want.
Hold on. Let me try this here.
I didn't listen to that nonsense, man.
Thank you. Thank you. People understand.
There we go.
Yes,
standing
yes.
ovation.
I love my audience. All right. Interact. People appreciate my greatness.
So I do have one quick change-up question. This one's actually coming from our favorite IBS member on parole, Donald Catalone. He wants to know, what NFL player has the hottest significant other? Could be a girlfriend, wife, anything. He wants to know who's the best-looking one.
That's a layup. Eli!
Go ahead, Chase. He's already talking over. You might as well go.
I said, man, that's a layup, man. You got a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl in a sundress. Give me that all day over these girls that are about to explode up to 400 pounds. You're already going to do that as an NFL player anyway, so you got to prep for it. You got to get you a little girl, man. Eli got this tiny boned, nice, beautiful, blonde-haired, blue-eyed woman. That's the one.
All right.
And that pretty much tells you. That tells you everything you need to know about Chase right there. You can hear the undertones. You can hear the coded language there. Not even that much coded. But if I'm going with a quarterback girlfriend, I don't even know if he's still with her, but I'm going with Tannehill. She is blonde, but she is a smoke show, not just a dime a dozen blonde like Eli's girl. But honorable mention to Giselle. Honorable mention to Captain Webb. She's still dealing with that redneck AJ McCarron, if that's still official. Honorable mention to them, but I'm going with Tannehill's girl. Tannehill's girl was so hot that scouts were asking him if he was going to bring her to the meeting. So that's pretty damn hot.
Man. All right, Tannehill's girl is hot, but you can't say not a dime a dozen blonde. She is a dime a dozen blonde. She's
no,
Eli's
special.
Chick with fake
special.
Tits, man.
Eli's
that's what she is.
Like shit. She need to put some meat on her bones. I'm going to represent my people today. She need to put some meat on her bones.
Hey,
too skinny.
Tannehill's girl bought the meat
dark.
On her bones,
she
man.
No
that shit's plastic.
No, I can touch it. If I can touch it, it's real.
You guys gotta remember.
It can do your favorite activity, Chase. Like you still gotta do what you gotta do in there. Like it doesn't matter if it's plastic or not.
Oh. All right, I'm gonna mute both of you real quick because I think this conversation is gonna go on for a while. You gotta remember, RC probably joined that Facebook group that was added to IBS lately, so he might be taking some hot takes from there. But we'll go ahead. We'll move past that question. Let's go ahead and we'll move on to a question from our less racist Boston fan, Maddie B. This is the one he wanted to throw as a layup to RC, he said. But we'll start with you, RC. The question is, of course, is Tom Brady the GOAT quarterback? Why or why not? I'll bring you back on right now.
Thank you. It's just, and I grew up, this is where it's hard for me. I grew up on Joe Montana, some of the epic moments, but Tom Brady is without a doubt the great quarterback. Chase is going to tell you all these irrational reasons because he doesn't like Michigan, so all of his opinions are based on Ohio State and Michigan, and that's how I decide whether a quarterback is good or not. What you saw from Tom Brady, being able to go to the Super Bowl that many times. Joe Montana is not 4-0 in his whole career. He played years after year after year and made the Super Bowl four times, and great for him. He won. Tom Brady took his team even further. You actually get an AFC championship ring. You actually have after the AFC championship game, you actually have a celebration. The team comes on the field and they celebrate because you have won. The origin of the Super Bowl is the AFL versus the NFL. So you have won a championship. You won your side, your half. The people that you play primarily, you won that. So he's gone further than Joe Montana. We've seen Tom Brady single-handedly carry teams on his back. You know what the system is? Chase is going to lie, and he's not going to even know what the system actually is in New England, but he's going to call Tom Brady a system quarterback. You know what the system is? The system is Tom Brady. It's not Randy Moss. It's not Wes Welker. It's not Julian Edelman. It's not Hogan. You can put anybody on offense and defense, but the constant is the GOAT. It's Tom Brady. He carries that team. He makes Belichick look good. He makes everybody around him in the Patriots building look better. That's why he's the GOAT.
All right. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to bring Chase back on, and then I'm going to mute you because I know you guys have so many feelings about this topic. Let me go ahead and do that for you guys here. Chase, what are your feelings on that, my man?
QB winning so much just talks his leading point is he got to the Super Bowl more times. Man, that's a team statistic. Let's talk about your boy as the GOAT. Let's talk about him as the best quarterback of all time. Because if he's the best quarterback of all time, shouldn't he have more than two All Pros in 16 seasons? Shouldn't he have actually been like the best quarterback among his contemporaries? Shouldn't he be able to throw down?
Chase, your phone sounds like garbage. This is where the sports junkies would hang up on you. I don't know what happened. Your signal.
Can you hear me?
That's much better, much better. Let's start that rant over.
All right. Because let's get back to the point. Two-time MVP. Why doesn't he have any more options? Dude's been on the field forever. He's been playing forever because they make the damn rules so that he can keep playing. Every time he might get hurt or something, they change the rules for him. So why is he not beating out his contemporaries? Why are his statistics not better? He has white receivers. You know why he has white receivers? Because he's racist. That's why he keeps putting these dudes around him. That's what he does, man. It's ridiculous. A guy comes out and supports Trump. I've been telling you he's racist for 5 freaking years. The dude hasn't had a freaking
Chase, I don't know if it's going to be
Aaron Rodgers is
so
better
fast.
At every single thing from a technique standpoint. So is Drew Brees. There's like 5 guys that have been better than him in every area you want, but oh, because he yells around like a freaking hype me up champagne on the sideline. It's so annoying, man. That shit gets so old. Like, that's a dude that if you actually were around black people would get punched in the face more often, man. Like, it's just annoying. Get out of here with all your yelling and screaming. Oh, QB wins, though. QB wins. It's nothing to do with good organization and quarterback and cheating and everything else that we can just throw aside. He hasn't been Super Bowl in the last three Super Bowls are all Martin controversy. Let's just sweep that under the rug. It's QB wins, though. He's the GOAT.
And sir.
So I don't know what the deal is, but it's funny to me and kind of ironic that Chase's phone didn't start fucking up until you started having to talk about that guy, Eli. sounds like you're underwater for a little bit of that, but I think we caught it all. But yeah, let's move on. Let's go to another question here. RC, we're going to go back to Cody Stewart here. I got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got 6 questions left from this guy. Pick a number 1 through 6, sir.
Oh, what'd you say? I'm sorry. You said pick a number?
Can you count to six? Yeah.
Can I count? Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I thought it was your job to choose the question, sir. I'm sorry. I zoned out waiting for the actual question.
I mean, I did ask a question.
a question for me to answer. That's about football.
1 through 6, and I will provide you that question, sir.
I said 5, Saltine.
5. All right. Is this the year that the London Jacksonville Jaguars make the playoffs? Why or why not?
Hell no, because Blake Bortles is their quarterback. Since Blake Bortles has started playing football, he has three first-quarter touchdowns. That's in his whole career. So as long as Blake Bortles is under center, hell no. But I will say their defense is starting to shape up, but it's still very young. And you need more, and they did sign Campbell, but you need more veterans to make a defense legit. You can't just have all this young talent and it never comes together. So you got to have more of a mix of veterans and young people. So I definitely will say no, because Blake Bortles is a damn quarterback.
All right. Chase, same question.
Can you repeat the question, man?
My
phone's getting slandered. I need you to repeat the question.
What are you stalling? Ain't nothing wrong with this question. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
You need to turn your car off. You shouldn't have the car running in the garage anyway.
It's not running. That's the problem. That's
why he knows what's happening. It's a debate. He's got the windows up and the car's running and the garage is down.
Hey, man.
All right, Chase.
I can't be yelling like a little barball in my house right now. What is the damn question, though?
Chase, the question from Mr. Cody Stewart was, is this the year that the Jacksonville/London, I added the London part, Jaguars finally make the playoffs? And why or why not are they going to finally make the playoffs this year?
Man, come on, Cody. Cody Stewart actually knows. Like, why are we talking about the Jaguars, man? We got a limited time to talk about NFL, and you want to talk about the damn Jaguars? Of course they're not going anywhere. They just drafted the freaking Bucks, man. Like, every time you think they could possibly get better, they just still trash. They got a pool.
Chase, your phone is awful right now. I keep hearing the beginning, but not the end of what you're saying.
I'm going to try to let's see if this works.
You said they drafted who?
A bust.
Which player are you referencing?
Larry State University's finest.
Yeah. So, sounds like you both agree.
All right, can you hear me now?
Nah, you sound way better now.
All right,
so it sounds like we both agree that was an awful question from Cody. We'll let him know about that,
that was
later
actually,
on Fox Sports.
Did y'all not hear any of that? Because I can reiterate what I just told you.
Go ahead. We got time. Go ahead.
The summary is
you keep cutting out on the tail end. It's weird because I know it's not because you're yelling, but it cuts out cellularly like when you're yelling.
Well, I'll tone it down. Cody Stewart, don't ever ask about the Jaguars again. Are you out of your mind wasting our time like that? Next question.
All right. Let's go ahead. Let's move forward here. Let's ask some new questions here. Let's see. Is there anyone I promised I would say their question out loud? Nah. All right. So let's move on. Let's talk about a little bit about this upcoming NFL season, because we're getting close to the end of this ship. If you guys had to pick, we'll make this two parts, right? Who is going to break out in their second year? We'll start with you, Chase. And then as a follow-up, once you're done with that, who is going to not necessarily fall flat on their face their second year, but who's going to have a sophomore slump? So, again, who's going to break out this second year who maybe didn't shine as a rookie? And then who as a sophomore is also going to regress?
I'm going to talk about the two that probably got the most shine last season, especially in the group, Wentz and Dak. I think that Wentz is going to be better. I think he's got a really good arm. I think he's got an exceptional offensive mind coaching him. So with Alshon Jeffrey added, I think they got the right people around him, and he's got the tools to really kind of start to move in that in that division. Dak, on the other hand, I think the Cowboys obviously had a terrible first round of their draft and a terrible, I think it was six when they got the clown from Michigan. I think the other teams made some solid progress moving forward. I really do think the Giants take that division. I think that you got an improved Eagles team, and honestly, the Cowboys could fall to the bottom of the division somewhere with the Redskins fighting as usual, which, you know, always makes for a good time in the group. But so I think that Dak is going to get exposed a little more than he did last year. Even though Zeke and the line are still going to be eating it up, he's just going to he's going to be asked to do more because the division itself has gotten better, and he's going to have to win some games.
All right. You know, as you started talking, I proactively decided to mute RC there because I realized that this might have gone south real quick as we started talking about comparing the Cowboys to the Redskins. So I'm going to go ahead and do the opposite here. I'm gonna go ahead and mute you, Chase, and bring RC back on to answer the same question.
Because you don't like black. You hate the black man.
that is
black
also
man.
Why.
Mute the black man. all right, but did we not – I mean, you talk about the most first take, undisputed – IBS, William Keyes answer. Oh, is Dak going to regress? Is Dak going to regress? That's the obvious player. Let's take the best rookie of the year and drop him back down. Will he regress? All he had to say was, is it going to be like RG3? He would have been a DC Skins fan posting on IBS Weekly. So that would take a lot of thought just to say Dak. I wonder why he didn't say Zeke. Oh, I don't know. He's got a line, too.
I don't know.
But,
That's weird. There might be a connection there.
I don't know why he wouldn't say Zeke. But I think I'm going to take some surprising one as far as a guy that improved. I'm going to say Jared Goff because I think with this system, getting the young guy from the offensive coordinator from the 49ers and Redskins, I think you're going to have an offense that caters to his strength. And I think Goff still has it, but if you got an idiot coach that's not going to cater to your strengths, then you're not going to be as successful. Like, he can't take snaps. So why the hell do you have him under center? So don't make him play under center. Do what he's good at, real quick reads and things like that. I actually think, and I don't think it's going to be a bust, but I can see, honestly, I can see Zeke getting hurt. I can see Zeke getting less carries. I don't know if there'll be a real regression, but I could definitely see Zeke still having a great year, but he broke the Cowboys' all-time season rushing record. So I could see Zeke getting, 1,500 yards, getting banged up a few years, a few times, and maybe missing a couple games, and the media might make it like he's regressing, even though he's improving as a player, but his stats and some of his output may not be as high as it was last year. Intellectual answers, folks.
you think Goff will be the starter this year? What are you side note? Like, what do you think
he
puts up this year?
I think you have to make him the starter. You brought in a quarterback's coach. You saw what he did with Kirk Cousins. So then you got to try your quarterback that you drafted number one in the draft that had him starting last year. Like, if he can't play, you just got to give up on him if this guy can't get him going. Sorry, I don't remember your coordinator's name, Redskins, because y'all suck.
Do you think, as a side question, do you think Goff, do you think he has more touchdowns this year, or do you think he has more interceptions?
That's a good question. I think they're going to scheme it so that he does have more touchdowns. I think that you're going to see the same things. Like, I think looking at Jared Goff and looking at Kirk Cousins, they're very similar. I think Goff is further along than Cousins was when he was coming out. But if you play to his strengths, of course. But so I think he's definitely going to have more touchdowns. You're going to have a very quarterback-friendly offense. That offense, they're very good at getting the first read open. So it kind of makes it easy. The question is, when you get to the second and third read, what can you do? But I think he'll definitely have – I think we're looking at, like, maybe 18 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He's kind of frail, probably get hurt.
All right. So while you're on that topic, I guess we'll transition to this one. Let's start with Chase, man. What in the world do you think that the Redskins should try to do with this Cousins deal, man? I know this is like a hot take on the sports junkies, Chad Dukes, everybody around this awful Nova sports area. But, like, what in the world should they do? Should they try to sign him to a long-term deal? Do you think he's going to accept it? You know, is he worth it? You know, is he the pure – because, like, when I look at it, I see the pure model of what Washington sports is. He looks like he is a member of the Capitals. He's going to get you all the way through, get you to the playoffs, and lose. What do you think about that? What should they do?
Is you finished?
I am finished.
Man.
I am done.
Put the answer in the question. Well, let me just go back, because I got accused of not having an intellectual answer by someone that said Zeke's not going to be as good because he might get hurt. Okay, well, that's all right. Moving that aside, now we can get to your stupid hot take question. Of course, Cousins got to get out of there, man. The whole team hates him. The whole organization hates him. There's people in the city that believe of him, but pretty much people all agree that he's got a low ceiling for the amount of money that he wants, so they got to let him go by the wayside and start from scratch, and they're just going to blame Scotty Scotch for the next 10 years and say that it was his fault, even though they just botched this whole situation and made him hate them and they hate him. So it's just typical Redskins drama BS. I really don't even want to talk about it. We all know what the situation is, but that's that.
All right. Well, I appreciate you telling me that my hot take was dumb. Let me just let you know I expanded upon another question of Cody Stewart. So we should probably – talk to him about what the hell he's doing over there on Fox Sports. But we'll go ahead. We'll move that question along to RC and see what he thinks about it too.
I think with Kurt, I think you just gotta, honestly, you're not gonna get anything better. Like, Chase always wants to blow these teams up. That's why his damn Niners are shit right now, because you had a good coach, you had the situation in place, but they wouldn't sign the guy. You need continuity. You can't just start over. Perfect is the enemy of the good. There are only so many good quarterbacks out there. There are only two quarterbacks in the league right now that everybody agrees is elite and excellent. Drew Brees is good still, but he's seen better days. You're talking about Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. If you don't have a Tom Brady and Aaron freaking Rodgers, you're just playing catch-up. So you got to take the best quarterback you can possibly get. And Cousins, what are you going to do? Just take it. The quarterbacks in the draft are getting worse. If anybody knows, nobody wanted the quarterback, even though next year is going to be this great class. But by the time we dissect them, we won't think they're great anymore. We thought the other people.
The Skins like, ruined it by treating him like garbage, man. The Skins.
You got a connection now.
Yeah, I'm talking. This is.
You got a connection.
Yeah, man, because I'm finally unmuted. Unshackle me, man. Let me free. But yeah, I don't want to hear about your stupid hot take answers. Yes, we understand that there's good quarterbacks in the league, and he's not. He's in the middle. Okay, great. That was great insight. But the problem is the Redskins organization screwed him over publicly and made him embarrassed. And so, yeah, he ain't going to want to be there. He already said he doesn't want to be there. So when you already have that situation going on, of course, it ain't going to last. I don't care if he's the best fit for them or not. It's the Skins. They ruin good things.
So we're just going to assume that it can't be reconciled. We're going to assume if we pay this man $25 million, that he's not going to be okay with it. He's just going to put $25 million on the table, a long-term contract with a situation he's already comfortable in, with a coach he's very comfortable in. I mean, this is we're talking about millennial nation here right now. Oh, his feelings are hurt. Money does things for feelings. That's why the court awards you damages when you get your feelings hurt, with bad things happening to you. You get money. Money solves all things. The Skins cannot
tell that to Kaepernick. Tell that to Romo.
The question wasn't what Kirk Cousins should do. The Redskins should sign this man to a long-term deal, try not to pay him Andrew Luck money, but that's the going rate for the quarterback. He's definitely above average. He almost threw for 5,000 yards. That has to be above average. Like, if you make
so now all of a sudden the Redskins are going to act rational. I see. Okay, the Redskins are going to do what they don't do, and they're going to do what's rational. I understand. Okay, thank you. Let's move on.
But that was the question, though. The question was, what should the Redskins do? Not what should they do? They were asking for your insight, Chase, not assuming that the Redskins, I know you have a problem with Native Americans, and I know your people back in the day slaughtered Native Americans, so you can't be neutral about this question. But what they should do was depending on our intellect, not the inferior intellect. That's like if you told me what William Keyes should wear for the day. William, I can tell William what to wear based on intelligence. Now, if he's going to go out there and wear something, he's going to walk around with white suits saying, DePlane, DePlane, DePlane.
Hey, man, he's always looking fresh, though, and that's why he's a Skins fan.
Baby, dunk it up.
So what I took from the last day from both of you was that you guys were both staring at each other saying something
like, catch me outside, how about that?
But
now this is a friendly, man. It's a friendly.
We would not fight over the Redskins. That's not worth anyone's time.
No, really.
It's funny though. That's probably the most shit you guys got talking about the Redskins. That's funny.
That's because you muted us on Brady.
Yeah, because you've been muted.
And my name's the phone cut out.
That needed to happen. Otherwise, this would have been a 3-hour podcast instead of an hour. So,
can I just say this? Could you imagine if my phone started messing
up? Hey, man, can we just go watch the Rockets now?
It would be awesome.
I'll take my check later. Give me that Cousins money.
Every time I yell, if every time I yell, the phone messed up, it would be so bad.
Well, it wasn't because Chase was yelling. It was just a weird connection that his cell went to shit every time he decided to start. You know,
because he was talking about the
car inside a car inside a garage.
Harbaugh cutting the cables. Brady.
All right, we got about 3 to 4 minutes left. So this will be a 2-part last question. We'll throw out here right here. We don't need any analysts or anything like that. This is going to be something to bump for later. We'll start with RC. Who is your offensive rookie of the year this upcoming season? Who's your defensive rookie of the year this season? No whys, just names, drop. Go.
So you said the offensive rookie of the year and the and defensive?
Yep.
Sorry, I was breaking up. I'm going to go with Watson. I for offensive, I think that they're going to be winning a lot of games, and typically that's what it goes to. I'm not sold on him as a pro quarterback, but I think it can be more like he can make some timely plays, kind of like baseball. You have good pitching and timely hitting. He can make some plays. He'll be inconsistent, but he is that kind of guy that can win. And then defensive, let me get Jonathan Allen.
All right, Chase.
Did you say no analysis and then that's what he did?
Yeah, I was gonna touch on that in a second. That's just like everyone asked to submit questions through my inbox who posted them on the page. But yeah, same question. Offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year. Who you got?
Let me guess. Somebody from Ohio State.
No, man. I'm actually gonna go with the dude that put up numbers on us. I actually like Williams, the receiver from Clemson. I think that dude is kind of got underrated, mixed, lost in the shuffle a little bit, but can make some plays, so I want to see him. And on defense, Malik Hooker, of course, we got to go with a Buckeye. You're not going to give me two options and not make one of them a Buckeye, and we know he's going to soar around and get some picks, so let's watch that.
All right. I want to thank you guys for coming in and participating in this friendly debate. I think next time we'll make it a little more heated, maybe make a vote on who wins. But, yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys, to the debate series here on Iconoclastically Bombastic Network. Once again, please go ahead and give us a follow on Facebook at IBN. Hit us up on Twitter at IconoBomb. And definitely can join us on the greatest sports page on Facebook, Iconoclastically Bombastic Sports. Again, this was Spencer. This is the Great Debate Series, and make sure you have a great night. Thank you.
And I've been hustling since forever now. Feels like June and November now. And can't nobody ask me nothing now. They say, who's this? I say, boy, I've been around. And I've been hustling since forever now. Feels like June and November now. And
nobody ask me nothing now. They say who is, I say boy, I've been around.
I try to stay humble, I really do. Got the world on my shoulders, I can barely move. If they're my competition, I can never lose. I hustle in America, Bradley Coop. I need a brand new coupe, I need a crib in Paris. Camera shit, need a horse and carriage. They play the game, can't stand to share it. Scary move, and affairs. Look, I'm a young kid trying to get a kingdom. Never seen a guy like me, or maybe you have. I've been here trying to change the world without talking about bitches and weed. All the long days in my room, professor, free at last. I didn't know better, but I do know a little about graduation. Dropping out and still graduating, yeah. And I've been hustling since forever now. Feels like June and November now. Can't nobody ask me nothing now. They say who's this, I say boy, I've been around. And I've been hustling since forever now. Feels like June and November now. And can't nobody ask me nothing now. They say who this, I say boy, I've been around.
Right now I need a Mustang,
anything with American muscle.
Right now I need a lot of rain,
but my city just like Bill Russell.
Big guy trying to post up, looking all mad cause he didn't block out. When the shot hit me, I got it right there. Now he's on time with a look.